Right, it's 27 minutes past six. You're tuned to the SAFM Market Update with MoneyWeb. I'm Warren Thompson. Now, coming up is a very, very important policy introduction by way of legislation that was going to introduce a carbon tax with the specific purpose of disincentivizing the burning and production of carbon-emitting resources and gases. And I spoke to Natalie Napier, a partner at Hogan Lovells, to get her perspective on just exactly where this policy isn't in terms of the legislative process and exactly what its aims are as she understands it. This is what she told me a few hours ago.
I think that the carbon tax has had a long history in its making. It started way back in 2010 where there was a proposal to introduce some form of tax on greenhouse gas emissions, and it's developed over the years, and there's been a lot of commentary and comments received relating to how you should practically implement it or how you shouldn't implement it. And there's been a lot of feedback from industry saying that they're concerned about what the implications are for not only consumers but industry as a whole. It's envisaged that it will be implemented in the form of a draft, an act that's through the customs and excise transactions that it gets implemented. And it will be effectively that you need to ascertain what is the base level of your emissions, and then according to certain formula and deductions that are able to be planned, or allowances as they call it, you identify what is the quantum of the emission that you make, that is made, and then you multiply it by a third factor of 120 rand per carbon dioxide factor. It's quite complicated, so it's not easy to sort of specifically describe how it all gets implemented, but it will take some adjustment and getting used to, and that is why I think that there's still a long way to go in getting it implemented. It is proposed that it should be implemented by the end or beginning of next year, but the thing is that the act was only recently, or the bill that is to implement it was only published in December, and there's still some commentary going on about. So it is still going through the process of comments being provided and feedback on the comments, and we're not 100% certain if this is going to be the final form of the legislation or not. So there is still a way to go to get the end result.
Okay, so the basic underlying principle, though, is that you want to, the government wants to introduce a financial disincentive for the production and the burning of fossil fuels.
Correct. I would agree with you. That is what it relates back to international standards and international agreements that have been accepted by South Africa.
Okay, so, and this, as you say, so things like the Kyoto Protocol, the Paris Agreement, all include these resolutions by member countries to move towards a situation at least where, at the very least, they're disincentivizing the production of CO2 emissions.
Correct, that is correct.
Now, I guess the obvious question, Natalie, given... Given the fact that the public is fairly well informed of the financial challenges Eskom is facing, I also understand that Eskom is one of the largest CO2 emitters in the world. Who exactly will the CO2 tax apply to?
Well, that's the interesting part of the whole question, is because effectively it should apply to the emitter of the carbon dioxide. But the point is, as you've highlighted, who's ultimately going to bear that cost? And it is certainly foreseen that the cost will be passed down to consumers, because by having to pay this additional carbon tax, there will probably and presumably be a knock-on effect for consumers. So that is one of the sort of concerns and comments that has been raised to counter the proposed introduction of the carbon tax.
Is the likes of Eskom seeking a moratorium individually for this CO2 tax being implemented on them?
I'm not. I can't really comment. You know, I'm not I'm not certain if they are or aren't, but I mean, I understand that, you know, that they have been involved in providing comments, and certainly there is some proposal with the way the carbon tax is to be imposed, that they sort of have these sort of phased implementation of the carbon tax, and also that you get these sort of allowances that initially in the initial phase are a lot higher than, you know, in subsequent phases of implementation. So it's still, I think it's still some degree of uncertainty there.
Okay, all right. I think closer to the home, in the certainly to the pocket of the consumer, presumably there would be a knock-on effect on the cost of petrol and diesel.
Sure, I would agree with you. I mean, it seems unlikely that it wouldn't be passed on to consumers. I mean, if you've got this additional cost of having to, because I mean, it's not just a question of paying the tax, it's a question of looking at how practically you're going to comply with the applicable legislation. Because in order to ascertain how much tax you have to pay, you have to go through a process of identifying what are your emissions and where you can claim your allowances. So you will obviously have to undertake a whole lot of extra administration within your business in order to be, A, identify what the cost is, and then presumably it will be affected and passed through to your customer.
Okay, very interesting. Some of the objections that have come through are, you've mentioned that the carbon tax is still being, government is still consulting with various stakeholders. Besides the implications for tax and higher costs in the economy, are there any other objections to the principle or the form of a carbon tax?
Well, I think there are some other objections as to whether this is the most appropriate instrument to use. There has been commentary raised as to whether, you know, is it appropriate to use a disincentive, because this effectively is a disincentive, as opposed to other mechanisms for promoting better or more environmentally friendly behaviour, such as offering incentives. So that's one aspect. I mean, there's also the comments relating to the complexity of the legislation and obviously how you will monitor it and who will be responsible for undertaking the various measurements and et cetera associated with that. So it seems like it's not a very simple piece of legislation, and maybe that's the reason why, or one of the reasons why there has been such a sort of delay, and since seeing as it's taken since 2010, you know, to get this far, because it was meant to already have been implemented, actually, the carbon tax, and it hasn't.
All right, so we're actually running behind schedule.
Yes, in some ways.
Okay. Well, one of the other mechanisms that was going to make the adoption of the carbon tax a little more palatable, was that companies could offset their carbon production through other things, like, for instance, planting trees, owning forests.
Yes.
Is that being developed in tandem with the carbon tax, and what do those proposals look like?
It's meant to be, but as I understand it, there are still going to be some form of regulations published, because I understand in December there was the latest bill that was published, and then there's obviously the commentary, and then it was also indicated that there would be, during the course of this year, further regulations and details published relating to these offsets, but I haven't seen anything as yet.
Okay, so that has not moved in line with obviously the tax side of things. Perhaps one other question: Do you know how much the tax would raise for revenues for the government?
I don't know offhand. I suppose it's quite difficult at the moment to answer that, because it is sort of still somewhat of a moving target, because it's unclear, you know, what the final form of the legislation is going to be. So I don't have a projected figure.
That was Natalie Napier, a partner in the tax division of Hogan Lovells.